Hi folks, this is Lauren Hunt with another episode of the Guitar Podcast. Thanks for tuning in again. This is episode 29. And I have my second round of a cold. So this is my second cold of the season. So it's awesome that you get to hear me all stuffed up and occasionally coughing. I'll try to edit that out and everything. But anyway, so when you notice that I sound a little nasally or stuffed up, it's what it is. And if my mind's not quite working right, I just blame me overdosing on Sudafed. Anyway, to those of you new to the Guitar Podcast, I want you to know that what I talk about, guitars and amps and pedals and musicians, etc., I'm conveying my opinion from my experience over the years. Please email me at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments on the blog. That's at theguitarpodcast.net/blog. Last but not least, go to theguitarpodcast.net and sign up for email alerts. I will send you updates and such whenever a new episode comes out or if a new video comes out on YouTube or whatever. Did a little bit of an experiment with some video and doing some demos with my amp last month, and want to get a nice mic and setup and everything like that, so we can really get a good quality recording there. I think we could pull that off. Today I want to talk about kind of a smorgasbord of different things. First and foremost, I don't know if any of you love the NFL the way I do. I know this is off topic, but I must say that my fantasy football teams, I have two of them. Yes, I'm a nerd. And both teams made the playoffs this year. One team got bounced early. I thought it was a better team, but it went down in flames. Went down to a much better team. But my other team is moving on to round two. That would be the semifinals, the final four. So wish me luck, and if you all have a team out there, unless you're in the league or I'm in and you're listening, I wish you luck. Unless I'm up against you next week. You know who you are. Anyway, thought I'd throw that in there just to be a little fun. It's Christmas time. We have a Christmas tree up and dreaming of guitar pedals and accessories and so on. I'm sure you are too. That's not what we're talking about today. In the most recent Guitar Player magazine, it's the one with Joe Satriani on the cover. If you've been playing guitar for any period of time, a year or two or even longer or whatever, you've probably heard of carpal tunnel syndrome. It's when your fingers all cramp up and ache and everything, and they don't function quite right and everything. And basically, we will all try to have, basically it's a nice form of arthritis that you don't necessarily want to have. And you have to do certain exercises. My father-in-law does exercises for his carpal tunnel and arthritis. But some people have surgery for their carpal tunnel, and then they make a nice little slit there where Jesus took the spikes, and they work on the nerves and all the stuff that's in there. And I don't necessarily want them messing with that, so I try to have the best technique I possibly can, and to keep my hands and arms in a natural motion or position, so that nothing is awkward or that my hands aren't funny or whatever. But you know, I'm getting older. I'm 39, and my hands they get a little stiff from time to time. And I work on a computer all day, so there's a lot of typing and clicking on mouse and that sort of thing. So I think that's probably contributed more to possibly the degradation of my skills over the years than actual playing guitar. But so, With that in mind about carpal tunnel syndrome, about trying to be sure that you have good technique and natural ergonomic motion and positioning of your hands on the guitar in relation to your body and angles, that everything's good. I've heard about that for years. Something just kind of slapped me upside the head. I was reading the latest edition of the Guitar Player magazine. It's funny, it's January 2011. I don't know why they do that. It came to me in in, you know, like a week or so ago, beginning of December, but it says January 2011. I don't know why they do that sort of thing. Anyway, it's the one with Joe Satriani on the cover. But the article I want to talk about is one with Leona Boyd. She's a famous classical guitarist. And the article starts out with, "No one could explain why all my technique on the guitar was slipping away from me," says classical guitar legend Leona Boyd. "My right hand felt so different. I would end up crying every time I picked up the guitar, and it was getting worse. After months of denial about what was happening, as well as seemingly endless parade of specialists trying to diagnose what one of classical guitar's most celebrated exponents couldn't exclude." It goes on, arpeggios, da-da-da-da-da. She searched long and far for these answers. Spent a lot of money, flying all over the country, trying to find the solution. She finally found a verdict with the National Institute of Health in Washington, D.C. They came to find that task-specific focal dystonia was the diagnosis, and there is no cure. It's a neurological condition. Basically, when you've done the same precise motion a billion times over, like arpeggios, tremolo on a classical guitar, the neurons in the brain that fire the signals to the fingers are fused together or worn out. It doesn't happen for big motions, say, for example, like a golf swing or a bat swing or kicking a ball or running or anything like that. And it has nothing to do with muscles or joints in your hands or fingers. She says she's never felt cramping, for example, but her fingers would involuntarily curl up when she played. So basically what they're saying is that the repetitive motion of playing guitar over and over and over and over and over again, or say if you, I'm guessing that you could probably get this same sort of thing, that you could still get task-specific focal dystonia from, say, if you wrote letters all day with a pen, or you're into calligraphy and you did it over and over, you're a professional, and you did that over and over and over again, potentially that could come down with the same thing. Now, one of the reasons why she thinks she got this was because she practiced over and over and over again the same scales and arpeggios and just mindless tasks playing guitar. And she said that her ex-husband, he'd watch a lot of TV, and they'd sit there and watch TV, and she'd be like, ah, whatever, so might as well, if she's sitting there doing nothing, she might as well practice and not pay attention necessarily to what she was doing. And that takes me back to when, I don't know for how many years I've done this same exact thing. I'd sit around watching a football game and go through scales or exercises and stuff like that, not really paying much attention to what I was doing. It was almost mindless. I mean, sure, I was focusing on my technique and everything, but trying to minimize motion and make it as clean as possible, make every note count, all that sort of stuff that I tell everybody, you know, all my students or anybody, or I tell myself while I'm playing or practicing. But it really kind of hit home whenever I heard her say that, and that she came down with this focal dystonia. And basically, there are things that she just simply cannot do on guitar anymore. And she's a world-famous guitar player. And it's just something, I don't mean to scare you, it's just one of those things that we want to keep on our radar that we don't necessarily do. I'm imagining that if she's that awesome of a guitar player, that she probably took that kind of practice to a level that most of us probably won't. However, you never know. And some of us may be more prone to come down with something like that than others. I think somebody that has practiced enough to be as good as she is, it may be one of those things that's like a, I would want to call it a mental disorder, because I think that's part of how I got to be fairly quick and as good a guitar as I am, because I just practice and practice and practice and did the same thing over and over again. And I think you kind of have to be a little weird to do something like that over and over again. And yes, I'm calling myself weird, and that's okay. I can live with that. And maybe you should take a look at yourself too. You may find yourself calling yourself weird too. But enough of that. a little more about focal dystonia, here's a Wikipedia definition, which, you know, you can always trust Wikipedia for everything. It doesn't lie. Anyway, I do look at it a lot. I do think you get a lot of valuable information there. Anyway, focal dystonia is a neurological condition affecting a muscle or a group of muscles in a part of the body causing an undesirable muscular contraction or twisting. For example, in focal hand dystonia, the fingers either curl up into the palm or extend outward without control. Causes the misfiring of neurons in sensory motor cortex, the thin layer of neural tissue covering the brain that is thought to cause contractions. So it's a neurological disorder. So anyway, I just wanted to keep it on your radar so that you would think, you know, kind of think twice about some of the if you do that sort of exercising, running through scales and arpeggios, or just going over and over and over again. Once you get it, you know, you should have it. I know that I'll go a long time, like several weeks sometimes, without playing guitar, or maybe just playing like cowboy tunes for my kids or whatever, just playing, you know, cowboy chords and funny songs and things like that, but nothing that's very too terribly challenging on the guitar. And then I'll see on my calendar I have to play this weekend, and I find out that I'm playing a kind of a challenging solo. And then I play, and I'm like, man, it just, I've lost it. I'm not, you know, I can't do it. I practiced one night. It just really sounds lousy. But then the next day, I pick up again, and I play, and it's like I'm like 22 or something. My hands work just great. So sometimes it's just kind of a kickstart like that. And I'm, you know, like I said, I'm 39, and you know, hands don't work as well as they used to. But I could still do some. Still do some damage on the guitar. But anyway, the my point is that I think that once you get it, you got it. And like I've said before about, I think in an episode or two ago about running scales and everything, there's a point to where, in my opinion, that running scales over and over and over again isn't necessarily what you need to do. I think phrasing and licks are key, something that's going to add to the song. Because if, you know, if somebody's playing, you know, a nice E minor blues riff, you know, like E in rock, heavy rock, like E and G and then D and A, you know, and then, you know, back over and over again over, you know, like four bars and just repeating that four time, real heavy, down, you know, on, you know, the downbeat and everything. If you're just going to start playing scales, it's not going to do anything. You want to have some hot chops, you know, you want to have some cool licks and some cool stuff there. And that's what you want to focus on. Of course, you could overdo that as well. So anyway, I know that carpal tunnel is something that we talk quite a bit about. Maybe I should talk about a bit about it too. And we'll see what Mr. Wikipedia has to say about carpal tunnel syndrome. CTS is associated by symptoms and signs which are caused by compression of the median nerve traveling through the carpal tunnel. Basically, it's a nerve that goes through a real small tunnel in your wrist, going out to tell your fingers what to do. And that gets compressed or angled in a funny way that just pinches on that nerve and it messes things up. Sometimes weakness in the median nerve distribution. Those diagnosed with carpal tunnel syndrome may experience pain, numbness, tingling sensation in the arm, which may extend to the shoulder and neck area. These feelings are more prevalent at night due to various sleeping positions. So those are some symptoms that you want to be careful of. And a good way to avoid that as a guitar player is to keep your hands in good form, that your hand isn't, your wrist isn't bent heavily. I know a lot of times people will say that the best technique for guitar playing is to have your thumb right in the middle of the back of the neck. And And in some cases, yes, I think that's great. In some ways, people will go to an extreme where they put that thumb back there and then they bend their wrist too much, and that pinches that constricts that area, that carpal tunnel where the nerve goes through there and tells your fingers what to do. Do that too much, then you're putting yourself at risk for carpal tunnel. I will tell you that most of the time, my thumb is sitting on top of the neck. I mean, I don't have big Jimi Hendrix hands or any or Stevie Ray Vaughan hands, but you know, fingers aren't terribly long, but I can get by with that thumb sticking up there. But by having my thumb over the top, it makes it easier for me to bend cord, bend strings, sometimes hit a note on the low E string with my thumb, as opposed to making a full bar chord or something like that. Also, it keeps my wrist straight. So my hand isn't getting cocked. My wrist isn't getting bent too much one way or the other. I mean, sure, it flexes and everything. And sure, there are times whenever I drop my thumb down low on the back of the neck for, say, a stretch or something or other. I mean, there are appropriate times for that. And that's something that you need to take into consideration whenever you're learning a part. Do you need to have your thumb over the top? Does it need to be in the middle of the back? And it's not like it's just two places to put your thumb, because it just depends on what you're, you know, where you're playing on the neck, where you, you know, which strings you're playing on. You'll find the most comfortable way of doing it, and you know, discuss this with your teacher too. If they're concerned about carpal tunnel, they will advise you to. Everybody has an opinion about how to play guitar, what the best techniques are, and form and everything like that. But I'm just telling you, whatever feels the best, whatever's most comfortable. And ergonomics are very, very important in avoiding having carpal tunnel syndrome. Now, I know I've covered two things that are really kind of scary for guitar players, because I would hope that for you, the same thing I hope for me, that I'll be playing guitar when I'm, you know, old and gray and wrinkly and everything like that, and I, you know, can barely move. I still want my hands to be able to play guitar. I still want to be able to, I mean, I don't expect to be able to do some of the things that I can do now when I hope to live to be 80 or whatever, but I don't expect to be able to play like that, but I still want to be able to play. You know, I love guitars. I love looking at them. I love playing them. I love talking about them. I'm kind of guitar crazy. So, and if you're listening to this podcast, I assume that you either are guitar crazy too, or you're on your way. Not that that's a bad thing. I suggest that you look into these two issues. You know, carpal tunnel, I told you how to avoid that. This focal dystonia, look into that. It's just something to keep on the radar. I had never heard of it before. Maybe you had, but I just wanted to bring it up to the audience so that you could avoid this for yourself. If you know anything about it, if you know more about it than what I'm adding in here, if you're a doctor or whatever listening, that'd be really cool if you jumped on the blog and made some comments and such about either carpal tunnel or focal dystonia and technique and stuff. I'd really love to hear from you. I'm sure the rest of the audience would like to too. Feeling like this is a really short episode, and there's got to be something else I'd like to talk about. And actually there is. When we go back to talking about scales and just running through scales over and over and over again. And then a couple weeks ago, I talked about my friend who emailed me asking about scales and how to incorporate those in songs and such. And that it's more, for me, it's more about the lick or the phrase or working around the chord than it is the scales and such. And, oh, a little correction, and I posted that on the blog that I wouldn't recommend playing G minor pentatonic or over a G7 chord, mainly because you're the minor you're playing a B flat, and if you're in that minor pentatonic, you're playing a B flat, and if you're playing a G7, you're playing a B, not a B flat. So it might not sound so good. You may be able to pull it off and get away with it, but I'm just saying, and I wanted to clarify that yes, I realize that those are two different things. What I want to get into now is about what I see separating decent guitar players and really good guitar players. I've been watching people on YouTube or in guitar stores or people performing and such who, you know, they're getting it. You can hear the melody, what they're playing and everything, but there's something missing. You can tell what song they're playing, but it's almost like they're going through the motions. It's more mechanical than anything. And what separates, in my opinion, a great guitar player from a good guitar player, or a good guitar player from okay, is feel and emotion. If you listen to, now I'm gonna cite this video, they said the worst Pink Floyd cover band ever. I saw this video on YouTube, and they show the guitar player, and he's playing all the notes. You can tell that it's the notes that Dave Gilmour plays, but there's no feeling to it, and the guy's still he's kind of a beginner. It's an extreme case here, because I don't think the guy's been playing guitar very long, and there's nothing wrong with that. And you really, until you get out there and put yourself out there or really work at it, you're going to sound like that. But I've heard some people who have played for several years, and they don't have a feel. They're just kind of going through the motions, hitting the notes. And like I've said before, that music is an art, and guitar is an artist's tool. It's a musician's tool to convey something emotional. Music is very, very emotional, and that has to come through in your guitar playing. So when Dave Gilmour is playing, the lead to Comfortably Numb, you can feel that he's not moving real fast or anything. He's playing some nice licks, some nice phrasing, and his guitar is talking in a way. It's telling you something, but it's very emotional and strong. It's really pulling. It's really great. But if you just play the notes and you don't feel it, it's not coming through. Something one of my first guitar teachers told me much later on when I was teaching at a guitar store, with him being the manager, when I first started playing out, was, and I tried to always remember this, was he said, live the song when you're playing it. And I didn't quite get it at first. He said, when you listen to Clapton play, he's living that song. The emotion is coming through. When he plays Layla, he's living that heartache, that he dealt with the love triangle that he had with George Harrison's wife. I mean, the emotion is there. You feel it, whether or not you're feeling exactly what he's feeling. It's just that he's conveying that. You're getting that emotion. You're getting that feeling. So he's living the song when he's playing that. Emotion is you gotta really try to push that through. I mean, don't overdo it, because if you start, overdoing it, then it's too melodramatic or whatever. I don't know, maybe your thing, but that's art. I guess if that's your thing and other people like it, I can't put you down for it, right? It's music is subjective. Art is subjective. And music is art. So, ways in which to convey your emotion on the guitar. One is dynamics. Playing soft. playing loud, playing hard, playing in between. Varying those dynamics is very important in getting across that emotion. Another thing is to embellish the note with a little vibrato, whether you use a tremolo bar or a whammy bar, just a slight vibrato, or a big dive bomb, or you know, you're cranking on that bar where the note just goes crazy. Early Steve Vai stuff from 87, 88, he's going crazy, just a whammy bar monster. But you know, a lot of emotion in it. That's another thing that makes Steve Vai so great. You can hear the emotion in his guitar playing, other than his technical ability, that he's just insanely good at what he does. And extremely long fingers, I might add. Tall man with long fingers. If you are tall and have long fingers, you know, I envy you, because you're probably a better guitar player than I am. Or have more potential to be a better guitar player than I had. Anyway, that, you know, you listen to what he would do, you know, with the whammy bar, it's lots of emotion. It's really cool. It's not, he's just not going through the motions. He's using that as a tool to convey an emotion or a feeling. And again, you use your vibrato on your left hand, shaking a note, shaking it a lot with your left hand, or with your fretting hand, because you may fret with your right hand, you may fret with your left hand. If you're, you know, you just barely shake it, you know, that's saying something. If you shake it a lot, you know, if you get a heavy vibrato, or if you do it like George Lynch style, when he'd get his vibrato from sliding his fingers over the frets, and which I never mastered. I've seen some people come pretty close, like I said last time. And another thing about George Lynch I always liked was the emotion, and how he was really fast, but there's a lot of emotion in it. You could really feel it, and that just set him apart. And I think that sets a good guitar player apart from the rest. It may make a guitar player a great guitar player. You know, like in Steve Vai's case, very technically savvy, just amazing technical guitar player, but is able to put that emotion in it. He really, you know, you can really do it. Yngwie Malmsteen, people would say Yngwie Malmsteen, early on when he first came out, I remember people saying, oh, he's so fast and everything, but I don't feel the emotion. Like, are you kidding me? Listen to it. Listen to what he does. There's a lot of emotion in what he's an amazing guitar player, technically, of course, but I always thought that there was a great deal of emotion because of the classical influence. You hear that classical influence, and classical guitar is full of emotion. You know, I would advise you not to overdo like bending notes or the tremolo or vibrato of notes. I would want you to be tasteful about it. But the thing is, like I said, I can't talk about taste, because I like all kinds of music, from hippie 60s music, the Beatles and Mamas and Papas, to Metallica and the Misfits, the early Misfits, you know, Glenn Danzig Misfits, not the Misfits that are around now, that most young people are familiar with. And I'm sure that there are many people who listen to that and say that's not tasteful music, but it's emotional. I mean, it has feel to it. It has drive. So, and I like country, and there's tons of emotion in country. And not anymore, but I'm just saying, I don't want to contradict myself, because, you know, overdoing it, going over the top, is all part of rock and roll and just pushing that envelope, being different, doing something different. And if you're putting your emotion into it and it's coming through and people are feeling it, that's, you're doing something right. And that'll make you a better guitar player, better than what you got going now. I want to focus on that. a friend of mine, a very good friend of mine, told me a couple years ago, we were playing around, and I have a very high opinion of his guitar playing. It's very unique, very, very nice, and maybe I've mentioned it on here before, but I don't recall. But we were talking, and I was kind of going through the motions, and I was playing kind of quick, and then I started kind of getting more feel or whatever, and I was like, you know, I really should, you know, play like I really want to play. And he mentioned something about me not having a lot of feel, and I was like, he goes, and about fast players not having a lot of feel, and I took great exception to that. I didn't really call him out on it, saying, you know, that I always, that's something that I've always tried to do, is have a lot of feel and emotion in my guitar playing, especially leads, because that's where your part to, for the guitar to tell the story its own way. You know, the song is telling a story about whatever, you know, love lost or heartache or whatever. And that's the part where the guitar gets to come in there and tell it, you know, to take the place of what the singer's singing. There was a Candlebox song, Far Behind, and it's an emotional song. You listen to all the words and everything of the singer, you can feel that emotion. But that guitar solo, there's tons of emotion in that guitar solo. I played a bunch of guitar solos or leads, and I wanted to, in cover bands, and I wanted to remember them all and play the way they, as close as I could to the original recording, so that somebody sitting in the club or whatever, and they hear the song, they don't hear some guy just start doing whatever. You know, I'd want to learn that part. Whether I like the guitar player or not. And I wasn't a big Candlebox fan, but that solo always kind of spoke to me. And then especially after I learned it, I was really blown away by the emotion. And that one's a case in point where anytime we played that song, I always heard my old teacher's voice telling me, live the song. And I would. I'd play that song, and sometimes I'd come out of that solo with that E7 sharp 9 part 3, you know, just, you know, the singer screaming, and the band's at a fever pitch, or real loud and nasty and everything, and I'd be emotional enough that, you know, if I didn't, I could lose it, you know, I could just really fall apart right there playing guitar on stage, and there are several times I, you know, and I thought I was doing it right. So I take a personal, I don't know what the best word is for it, but I take it to heart to really want to be, to portray the emotion of a song through my guitar playing, so that it's not that I'm just going through the motions and playing, it's just mechanical at that point. So I really hope that the things I talked about today, it's kind of a mixed bag, and it happens from time to time, but I hope that has led some guidance for you. And, you know, be careful with your hands. I want you to be able to play guitar a long time and not injure yourself, not have to go through what so many other guitar players have with carpal tunnel and with focal dystonia, or any kind of arthritis. You know, just do the best you can and take care of your hands. I'm trying to. I'm not always the best. I'm sure that I'll catch myself playing guitar or at work. And if you work on a computer all day like I do, your posture is very important. It all cascades down the rest of your body. So, you know, the way you're holding your mouse, the way you're working on a keyboard, it's all very important. And I'm sure that that's part of what, you know, whenever my hands get sore or whatever, it's probably because of that, and which will in turn affect my guitar playing. So, you know, take care of your hands, and when you're playing, don't just go through the motions. Feel it, and try to portray that in that emotion through your guitar playing. I really hope this helped. And with that, I'm going to wrap it up for the day. You know, chime in with any questions. Email me at info@theguitarpodcast.net. Chime in with comments on the blog. That's theguitarpodcast.net/blog, or you can navigate to it from the home site. Sign up for email alerts. Follow me on Facebook. And keep playing guitar. Enjoy yourselves. With that, this is Lauren Hunt signing off for the Guitar Podcast.